When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
This girl in the commercials for the scotch. What? Are you ready to drink Angus?
I don't know that I know these commercials.
It's a scotch.
Okay.
Angus. Are you ready, Angus?
This is a woman speaking?
Yeah.
And she speaks with that
timbre
of voice?
Yeah, kind of, yes, yeah. Come on, Angus. Don't be afraid to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Shot dark and, you know, with gold light.
And she's peer pressuring Angus to drink.
Are you ready, Angus? Mm-hmm. Something like that. I want to know if that girl is the girl from Meet Joe Black.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Having not seen the commercial, right. I have a hard time answering that question. But yes.
I can tell you that right now, there's some mateys on this podcast who are like, bang, and are twittering us on up with the answer.
Oh, yeah. The great thing about our audience,
yes,
is that collectively, they know everything.
Yeah. Together, they're the lifeline. I'll ask the audience.
Is it the same?
Is what the same?
The lady.
They'll tell us.
Individually,
they don't know anything.
Idiots.
They don't know a single thing.
No.
They're like us.
Yes. Collectively.
Together.
Everything.
It's like Muhammad Ali said. Me.
Mm-hmm.
We. He gets praised a lot for that speech, but I kind of feel like $10,000 speaking fee.
Was it 10 grand for that?
Oh, I'm making that up.
Oh, well, I believe that speech actually came on the heels of a speaking engagement, and it was requested of him from somebody in the audience that he recite a poem that he wrote. And off the top of his head, he created the English language's shortest poem. Me, we.
I got a shorter poem.
Okay.
Me.
But that's not a poem.
Go on. You don't think it is?
So much as it is.
Fuck you for trying to shoot down my art. Fuck you for trying to shoot down my art.
Not really trying to shoot it down.
Imagine a 12 by 18 foot billboard, white painting, okay?
Okay.
On the upper right hand corner, in black scrawl, is written me.
That's a painting. Painting.
That's
not
art.
A poem.
It's fucking art.
Okay, but it's not a poem.
And when I write it down and print it, and I write by the end by Tom Kavanaugh, it's a poem, dude.
Well, it's also longer than me, we. Me what? By Tom Kavanaugh?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Add it up. Add it up.
Okay, me, we, two. Me by Tom Kavanaugh. Yeah, it's fine.
No.
Art.
Me, two letters. We, two periods.
Okay,
two letters.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do like one of those like scrawled signatures. It isn't even a word. You can't read, never read.
That's not a word. It's not a word.
Right. So me. I fucking win, dude.
Still just
me.
A word.
Cool.
No.
You want to buy my book or not buy my book? It's up to you, man. If you don't like art, that's your fucking deal. You want to buy my book or don't buy my book?
I'm going to buy the book.
All right, thank you.
I'm going to buy the book.
Okay, well, thank you.
I like the book a lot.
Right, thank you. Thank you. I put a lot of work into it. Not a lot of work.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Almost no work. Next to no work.
Welcome to Mates, everybody.
Mike and Tom eat snacks.
Mike and Tom eat snacks with my good friend, Michael Ian Black.
And my good friend, now appearing in Freud's last session at the Broad in Santa Monica, California, Tom T-Bone Kavanaugh.
Hey, you know what I can't do?
What?
Play the spoons. Watch this.
Well, you're playing them.
I can't. I don't even. Do you know how to do it?
Sure.
Okay. So that was my. That's not bad. You kind of do, though.
Yeah, see? Good. Now, you've inadvertently, perhaps, or perhaps advertently.
I think advertently.
You've given a clue.
I've offered a clue.
A bit of a clue.
A bit of a clue to this week's snack.
This week's snack?
Welcome. Yeah. It's not last week's snack. Last week's snack was raisins.
Yeah, it was.
I love me some fucking raisins, don't I?
Yeah. I feel bad.
Well, you feel, bad
about my relationship with raisins.
You gave them a fucking eight.
I did.
It's fucking generous.
I did.
Not many snacks get an eight. That snacks were fucking killed for an eight.
Yeah, I did. Fuck raisins. This week, got a whole different snack.
Oh.
One that
requires...
Well,
you know, that's kind of how the podcast works.
Well, every week. Pick a snack, eat a snack.
I don't know that we've ever doubled up on a snack.
And nor should we. Nor will we ever.
Maybe we will. Never say never. I can envision a day where you and I get a snack that we like so much we just do it the next week.
The expression never say never, they say, oh, never say never.
They do say that.
Well, you can say it. And then if something comes to pass where the thing that you didn't never said was never going to happen happens, you can say, well, I was wrong. I was mistaken.
Yeah. So give me an example of that. For example, somebody said,
well, I'm never going to shoot my wife.
Never say never.
All right, and then I shoot my wife.
Right,
and you go, well, I was clearly wrong. I was wrong,
but they were right because they said never say never.
Well, they were right in the sense that they sort of created general admonition about being unable to predict the future, and in this specific case, yeah, they were right.
Yeah,
but so that's gonna somehow stop me from saying, from swearing, from promising to never do something? No. I meant it when I said it. I intended it.
Mm-hmm.
I had an intention that went awry.
You object to people saying that turn of phrase. Never say never.
I think it opens the door to smugness.
Mm.
And nobody dislikes smugness more than myself. I think we should be a little bit more forgiving as a society. So I say never say never. Oh, I'm never gonna fuck a coconut. Well, never say never.
Never say never.
Okay, and I fucked a coconut.
Okay.
Rather than you turning around and saying, well, you said you're never going to fuck a coconut, just say, all right, circumstances have changed. I still love you.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like I'm uncertain about who you are taking issue with.
The person saying never say never.
The person who says
– But it,
the person saying – but if they say – look, let me put it to you a different way. So you say, I'm never going to fuck a coconut.
Never going to fuck a coconut.
But if I said, maybe you will, that's okay?
No.
I'm not being smug about it. Nor am I trying to be presumptuous.
How about just let me have my declaration without inserting yourself into my process?
All right. It's your thing, and I should let you – I should live and
just,
let live.
Look, just take it for what it is. He says he's never going to fuck a coconut. Okay.
Okay. Good.
Right.
You should think about it.
Right. Well, no. Even then. Then 10 minutes later when I'm fucking a coconut, what I don't want is for you to turn around and say, oh, you said you're never going to do it.
All right.
I told you to think about it.
What if though it's something I'm directly involved? So you say I'm never gonna fuck a coconut, and I go, what about this one?
No, that's all right.
Okay, that's okay.
That's all right because then you're giving me options.
All right,
and I say, yeah, I'll fuck that coconut.
So what about this one?
Sure.
Give me a second. I just want to drink the milk.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All yours, Chief.
Oh, I thought you were drinking the milk post coitus.
Ah, gross, dude.
Right?
Yeah. I like the guy we had on last week.
Yeah, last week was a little bit interactive, something that we hadn't done before.
We hadn't done interactive yet. And we had a guy on, maybe.
Well, we had a viewer
on. We think we had a viewer on.
And the viewer was just a part of the show. It was a nice experiment. Not something I think I'd recreate.
No.
But
we're not doing it this week.
No. So sorry, bro. Not doing it.
Dude, not doing it, bro.
I mean, never say never, bro.
Yeah, never say never, bro. We might do it.
Did you enjoy that, bro? All
cool, right. Bro.
He did enjoy it. Cool. Pretty sweet,
all right, bro. We like that guy.
He's a good guy.
There's no doubt about it.
He inspired us, I think, a little bit because he eats healthy. you know, yeah, he's got tats, you know, and you look at him and you go, oh, you got to get your life together. But you know what? That bro's got his life together to the degree that he does, which is to say
– a lot of people that have their life together have tats.
Yeah.
Like Obama.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, you know
– a lot of people you wouldn't think have tats have tats.
Obama's got a tat.
More than one.
Some people – more than one. But
perfect example though.
Perfect example because this is the – I mean, look what he's achieved.
Fucking president. Hello.
Yeah.
You'd never know. Like when
on his left
– he's got shoulder. Like a sleeve. Basically a sleeve from his elbow up.
Prez.
Yeah.
One.
Sweet.
I like that. It's like you're the president. You want to put Prez with two – I don't know about the second Z.
That I think that's – yeah. That's a – it's gaudy.
And
the second Z is gaudy.
And then the one, Prez one.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a vanity plate or something.
It's – there's definitely a degree of hubris in that tattoo.
Like if you've just written the number of whatever – when you become president, folks, mm-hmm. and you just write the number of whatever president you've become, just that number alone on your
plenty.
Right shoulder, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. People will figure it out.
But then the image of him on his own shoulder flipping the double bird, to me
– you don't like it or you do like it?
I go back
it's
and forth.
It's just so Obama though.
It's so like, Obama. It's funny.
Yeah.
But I do think on some level
it
kind of crosses the line.
Well, he's kind of like, fuck you, yo.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of
– well, that. I mean that's what's coming out of his mouth in the little word bubble. It says fuck you, yo.
Yeah, I kind of think that's funny.
It's funny, I guess.
You don't feel it's presidential? I feel like – you know, say he's talking at Putin there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe instead of like – getting into the big discussion about what kind of relationship they want, he just kind of points to the tat.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, yo. Yeah, I don't know.
It's funny. I don't want to take anything away from the guy.
It's funny.
He's achieved a lot.
He's done quite well for himself.
He is the president.
He's the prez. Prez one. You want to make tats? Have tats.
Incidentally, the prez is not the our bro right now. He's
no,
a viewer.
No, that's another guy.
He's a viewer, but he's not the guy we're talking to right now.
And he might not even be a viewer.
No, chances are he's not a viewer.
Today we bring you, straight from Mets, something really special.
I want to tell you about this time Sean Johnson and I are sitting – I'm going to give the thing away, by the way.
Okay.
We – you know magic that when you do the theater or when you do film set acting?
Uh-huh.
Right? Sometimes you have to act with swords. You know that. I mean, 40%,
most of the time.
40% of the time.
All right. Well, yeah.
Swords. And 30% of that 40%, you're not just acting with the sword. You're actually involved in a sword fight.
Of course.
So I did a sword fight with
– don't bring the sword if you're not going to have a sword fight.
Yeah. Don't bring a gun to a sword fight. Think about that for a second.
Thinking about it.
Because it's a sword fight, not a gun fight. That's why you don't bring a gun to a sword fight.
Well, read the script, I guess, is the point you're making. Read the script.
Yeah, read the script. When you're involved in – so once upon a time, I was involved in this fight with this fella. Sean Johnson's his name. Great, great guy. And we're sitting out there. We're on break. You know, sometimes you have a break while they move the lights.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to me, verbatim, says to me, you know what I could really go for? I'm like, no, what? Diced. Peaches.
Diced peaches.
Diced!
Diced peaches.
Diced peaches.
Stormtroopers hitting the ground.
Yeah, this guy, out of all the things he could have desired at that very moment as the sun was setting, looking across these fields of grain, and he said, you know what I could really go for? Diced peaches. And I remember the next thing I said was, in the syrup? He's like, oh yeah. Then there was a long pause, and we both said, oh, yeah. I feel like if you're Del Monte
mm-hmm.
and you're working in the ad side of things, maybe that's what you want to shoot. A couple of guys exhausted from a sword fight, and the thing that they want, Del Monte, diced peaches in light syrup.
Well, Tom, you and I haven't had a sword fight today, but we did.
No, sir, we have not. No, sir. No, folks, we have not had a sword fight today.
No, we touched cocks.
Oh, sir.
But we do have
mm-hmm.
on hand Del Monte, diced peaches in light syrup. This comes in the 4-pack, in the clear plastic containers. You want your spoons at the ready for this.
That's what the spoons were for, mateys. That's what the spoons were for.
They come in the clear plastic packages.
Yeah, you peel it back.
Peel her back.
Mm-hmm. You peel her.
Get to work on her.
You peel her and get to work on her. Now, look at this. I mean, I just took a whiff. That smells delicious.
Mm-hmm. It does smell very good. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at these diced peaches.
Yep, go on.
And I'm feeling like I'm getting peach scraps.
Oh!
The visual.
Oh, yeah.
To me,
oh, yours are much smaller.
No, I don't know. I mean, I think yours are similar.
Well, I got a whole side of here where there's like some nice hefty chunks. But yeah, you're right. There's also some that's, you know how I want to say it? A little mealy. Maybe not mealy. A little piecemeal. That's what I'm looking for. Piecemeal.
Uh-huh. They're not a little, they look a little fibrous. If I think to myself, diced peaches.
Diced peaches!
What I'm imagining in my head are peaches cut in a fairly uniform way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, maybe that's just a prejudice to this industrial age, to the mechanization of food production.
You are Caucasian.
But in my mind, I want my diced peaches
to
be a little bit more uniformly cut. Now, maybe they just don't have the technology to do that. I don't know.
What's funny is it seems to me that that would be the first thing. It's like, guys, we're going to make diced peaches. Let's get a dicing machine. And that dicing machine would thereby cut the peaches into the same you'd get the same cut for every peach. That's what's surprising. It's just so there's some big, some large, willy-nilly. And obviously that's gone into their thinking.
Yeah, some are big and some are large, like Tom said. You're an idiot.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Now look at this peach. Look at this piece. I've got a piece right here.
Mm-hmm. I just took a bite. I couldn't wait.
That's about half an inch. By about half an inch.
Yeah, yeah.
That to me is the perfect diced peach size. This is just a perfect diced peach.
That's a good peach size.
But then right next to it, I've got this little mealy jobber, kind of floaty and small limp.
Yeah.
Kind limp. Of a flaccid peach.
Sure.
It's a disappointment.
But you know what the dumb-minded people would argue, Your Honor? They'd say, when thou dippeth thine.
Wait, why are they speaking like that?
That's how they speak. God. I don't know. It's Del Monte. We have come from far lands.
All right.
We have been in the kingdom of Jenny Geno.
Jenny Geno?
Deep, deep in the wilds of Africa.
Why Africa?
Now what you call Mali. And from Jenny Geno we have wrought upon locust, bees, and plague to emerge victorious with thine own cup serving. Yes. Dip thine spoon in, thou shalt find.
This is...
Though thou might have small and large, when thou dippeth thou spoon, every spoonful shalt be thine same.
I mean...
So, but what they mean by that is like, yeah, some are big, some are small, but they all fit nicely under the spoon size, like this.
I guess.
That's what they say over there. It's an annoying way of talking.
Terrible way of talking. So
just how they do.
Fucking annoying.
Just how they do it. That's why they're not more popular. Because, you know, this is a good product. This is a good product. That's a good bite. I'm on my fifth bite already there, Magic.
I just took my first.
Mm. It's a good product.
And I like it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You just took my second. Mm. I got some problems with the diced peaches and light syrup.
Uh-huh. I don't. Go on.
First of all,
mm-hmm.
I don't want the light syrup.
Oh, all right.
Just don't give me – I don't want syrup mixed in with my fruit. Mm. To me, you're ruining the fruit experience with your syrup. Pack it in water or just give me a peach. I don't want it liquidy. Peach is already very liquidy all by itself. Why do I need to add syrup?
Boom, done. Now I have another one.
But why do I need to add syrup to what is already a kind of perfect snack?
Because it's a snack dessert, pal, really. It's a treat. Oh, it's a treat. Get a little syrup on that. You're the schmo would be like, you're the shlomo that would be like, hey, man, I have the pancakes, but don't put any fucking syrup on them. You're the fucking Russian oligarch that would be like, just give me bread.
No.
No jam.
No.
And I'm like, you know what? Give me the peach.
No,
give
what
me
you
the syrup.
No, fuck you. What you just described were two bready, dry foods. Pancakes and bread. Peaches are bread. Not bready.
You ever had bread?
Peaches are peachy. Peachy is so good, it itself has become an adjective for things that are good.
Mm-hmm.
Peachy.
Mm-hmm.
So why do I need to further enhance peach with syrup?
Exactly.
You're gilding the lily with something worse than the original thing.
Right, right. Put the syrup on the pancakes. I'm with you. I love it. It's good.
Great. We're in agreement.
Syrup on the peaches. Perfect.
No.
That is good. That is really good.
No.
Great.
You could put peaches on pancakes, and if the peaches were in light syrup and I put all that on pancakes, delicious.
I'm with you. Put the syrup on the peaches.
Fine.
I love it.
What I don't need is packed syrup in peaches. You want to put your syrup on your peaches.
I do.
Do it on your own time. Do it individually. have them pack with it a little packet of syrup. That way I could control it, like with salad dressing.
Here's what I think about arguments. I think that if you give – say we're at the UN there and we're trying to get somebody kicked out because, you know.
Bad actor.
They don't look like us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if each person has a little snack that they really enjoy, it's just – like you're there. You're railing on. You're going on about something, about syrup or something. I'm like, this is great. I don't care. It's great. Talk all you want.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Because you've got the snack that you like.
I got the snack that I like. I'm like, I couldn't be happier.
Right.
I feel like if we're at the UN.
And I'm up there going, we need more female circumcision. And
I'm like, yes, sir.
What we need is to get these ladies up here, circumcise them.
Got my
vote. One and all.
I'm in.
Because you got your peaches with your lights
here. I'm happy.
Right.
I'm happy. I'll agree to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's right. Oh, gosh, that was good. All right. I'm done.
It's not that good. It's not that good. It's too sweet. It's sickly sweet. The nice thing about the natural.
It is sweet, but it's
too sweet.
It's not sickly sweet.
It's too sweet.
In your opinion.
Let's not get into semantics. It's too sweet.
I agree that you're wrong. I just think it tastes good.
Mm-mm.
I'm done now. I kind of need a nap.
Yeah, because your insulin is kicking.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Your diet.
I'm a guy who's. I'm pro snack. You know, you know.
Don't like, even.
I'm pro
snack. Don't you even couch it in terms of.
Wait.
So what?
That was a good one.
It was fine. But don't couch it in terms of I'm pro snack, thereby implying that I'm somehow anti snack.
I don't want to imply it. You clearly are anti snack. it's one of the things that, you know, I'm like Siskel and you're Ebert.
What does that even mean?
Well, one guy always hated movies.
They both love movies.
Yeah, that's the thing. My arguments, it's fine. I'm sated. I'm good. This is great. You want to circumcise the ladies? Fine.
But let's set that aside for a second.
For how long, though? Wait, we got to do that. We got to do it till between 2 and 4. Because
yeah,
I got a
let
thing
me think,
after
it,
that.
Let me think
so
about
if you're
this
gonna
for
circumcise
a second.
The ladies,
all right. Okay.
How long do you need for it?
Per lady?
Well, just total, how long do you need? Hour
I mean,
and a half?
I was counting on the full 2 hours, but...
It's going to be hard because you're going to have the people coming and then they're sitting in the waiting room. Then you have to circumcise the ladies and then you've probably got to get out of there and then grab your jacket, maybe wash your hands.
I definitely need to wash my hands.
So that's 15 minutes.
Okay, 15 minutes.
Okay,
hour
so
45.
An hour and 45 minutes.
Plus I got a thing.
I have a thing too is what I'm saying. That's why I need to protect the thing. We've got to be out at 4. Two to four to circumcise the ladies, but how long are you really going to need?
Fuck. Realistically... Hour 45. I need every
second
of that.
You're going to need as much time as you can to circumcise the ladies. All right. Well, you know, as long as you're set up and ready to go, you got your tools out and ready to go when we get there.
Yeah.
That should be fine.
I got a bar.
But I'm going to tell you something. Like, you know, if you're having trouble on the last one, clock's ticking down. I'm still – Michael, we got to go.
No. Look, we both have a hard out.
Right.
I know. And she'll deal.
Well, she's going to have to
deal. She's just going to have to deal.
I don't want you – this is – by the way, I mean no disrespect. I'm – all about respect for women. You understand that. But if I've got a thing.
If you've got a thing, you got a thing.
Right. So I don't want, you know, if there's any ladies out there listening to this, you know, look, Michael and I, we do the podcast.
That's just who we are.
But yeah. What we are about, respect for women. But you have to, you women have to understand that if a guy's got a thing that he's got to get to. I don't know why this concept is so hard. I mean, it's not necessarily... I love you. I'm saying I love you.
He loves you. He respects you.
I respect you. I love you. I just have to get to this thing.
You got to respect his time.
Please.
That's all he's saying.
Is that too much to ask?
The respect, that's a two-way street.
Well, it is.
Tom's got a thing.
I have a thing at four.
He's got a thing at four.
Well, I have to be out at four, to be honest with you. I don't want to like play games. My thing isn't at four. My thing is it's at nine. But I want to be out at four.
Well, where's the thing?
It's next door.
All right. Well, then it does sound like there might be a little bit of wiggle room.
Look, this isn't really up for debate. I have my
– He's got a thing. He does have a thing. He's got a heart out at four.
I have to be out at four. I mean I've established that right off the bat. It doesn't really – my thing could be in Timbuktu. It's not there. It happens to be right next door. It's like it's not even across the street. It's right next door.
You know what? Let's just – if ladies, if you're out there and you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to head over there. I'm going to get a
quick circumcision.
The line's too long. Maybe think to yourself, yeah, I wish I could get female circumcised today. Tom's got a heart out at four. Mike needs an hour 45. I see all these ladies in front of me. Maybe I come back another day.
It's not too – I don't feel we're being unreasonable. You know, you don't want to – look, we have all heard many tales of circumcisions gone awry.
The last thing you want is a botched female circumcision.
That's just no good. It's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for us.
No. I mean we have a – look, we're about respect for women. In addition to that, we have a certain pride.
Yeah.
We take the podcast seriously. We take women seriously. We take female circumcision seriously. Yeah. It's surgery, ladies.
If you're going to do a job, do it right. You know? Don't be coming in here blasting music like they do at some female circumcision places. You know, like it's where it's all comfortable, where it's all in like one big like Apple workroom, you know, where we don't really have kiosks. We're all kind of sharing it. There's like a – they lay you down on this big broad room table. And it's just like that stuff with it cranking the tunes. You know, people skateboarding by. Mm-hmm. That stuff just doesn't seem professional to me.
It's trendy.
I agree.
It's a trendy way to circumcise
females. It's young
females.
And maybe it ages me a little bit. But you know what? If it ages me, so be it. I'd rather be on the side of safety and a job well done.
That's the most important thing.
Thank you. I agree. I think that's important. But anyway, I have to be out of four.
Okay. That's fine. I maintain, however, in light of all of this,
yes,
and I think you made a strong case for having to be out at four,
mm-hmm.
and for performing female circumcision
mm-hmm.
in as a professional environment as possible.
You know what I call it? Pro mode.
Great. I still maintain
mm-hmm.
that the diced peaches and light syrup are too sweet.
I respect your decision, and I think you're a dink.
Okay.
You know, are you going to finish that?
I'm not going to finish it. I didn't even finish my cup. Because it's mostly liquid at this point. It's mostly syrup.
That's on your epitaph. The man couldn't finish his cup. That's your epitaph, man. The man couldn't finish his cup. You know what? When everyone's going to come up at the funeral and say all these nice things about you, hey, he had black hair. Hey, I once saw him cross the street. Hey, you know, he was a guy. Well, after all those beautiful accolades about you are out there, hey, I once saw him, he drove this one place and he stopped and got a burger. I'm going to step up and go, the man couldn't finish his fucking cup. We all know it. We all know it out there. Hey, Letruglio, I'm looking at you. You know it too. Hey, Showalter, I'm looking at you. Hey, Waynes, I'm looking at you, fuckstick. The man couldn't finish his cup. And Jennifer Aniston is going to be there.
Oh, is
yeah.
she?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of excited to
crying,
die.
Crying.
Oh,
she always loved you, dude.
I never knew.
Yeah, she always loved you. She always loved you.
I only met her the one time.
Yeah, and then
she did say when we met, she said I'll be there for you. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, hi, she's making a Friends reference. But what you're saying is
she was there for you. You were the one that got away because you didn't know you were getting away.
No,
she always loved you.
Huh?
You know, even when she was married to Jennifer Lopez, she always pined after you.
You know what?
She was just like, you were the one that got away. Look at you eat that. Look at it. He's eating it like a rabid cat. He's knocking back the Del Monte. He's drinking the syrup. He finished the whole thing in four fell swoops. That's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen.
I don't want her at my funeral having to hear those words.
Well, you know what?
He couldn't finish his cup.
So now it's changed. All the people coming up with their crazy accolades. He liked the color rosé. Oh, he was a guy that knew many states. All these people saying all these wonderful things about you. And I'm going to step up and say, yeah, he was great and all those things are true. But let me tell you something else. The man would finish his cup. Oh. Boom. Everyone is going to fall to the ground. And Aniston is going to be backlit at the back of the church. She's going to have tears running down her thing. She's going to come forward. She's going to have the casket. She's going to start humping the casket.
Yeah.
And she's going to see, this circumcision was his work.
Yeah.
Was his work.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of how it would play out.
Oh, such a better story. I mean, it ended so
the
much
man could
better.
Finish his cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finish your cup, folks. Finish your cup. Kids out there trying to figure out where you are and what you're doing, start by finishing your cup. Doors will open. You'll walk through them.
Ratings?
Ratings!
Ratings!
Ratings! Ratings! Ratings!
Ratings! I mean,
this is gonna be something where I give it a high one, you give it a low. I won't stop, I won't stoop so low. Gonna give it a high one. I'll say yes and you'll say no. My high one's fine, my high one's not 9. It couldn't be that. That's crazy. It's heaven. It's not even gonna be a 7, but it's a 6. But it's a 6.5.
Well, I went through a lot just then.
Thank you.
I mean, you structured it beautifully. You sang it with verve.
Alacrity.
And, well.
No?
I wouldn't say alacrity. Okay. The way you said alacrity.
Alacrity.
That was with alacrity. That right. was almost too onomatopoeic. Much.
Whoa.
But you ended.
But. I like how you said but.
You said your whole.
But.
But you ended, you know, in a good place. You ended with a 6.5.
6.5.
Yeah. You know, I'm between the time you said 6 and 0.5, I thought to myself, he's only going to give it a 6?
And then I went, 0.5.
Ding. Very satisfying rating.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And yours?
3.
I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.